But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff. So what I want to do, believe it or not, in the rest of the study is I want to spend the entire rest of the study on verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, goes on, preach the word, be ready. So he's telling, Paul is telling Timothy, this is the end of Paul's life, he's coming to a realization of that, and he's telling Timothy, here's basically what I want you to do, and he's setting forth the time frame with which he wants it done, or he would like it to be done. And there is a lot of really good information in this single verse that I want to camp out and spend some time on. And the thing that's difficult about Paul's letters is that when we read his letters, Romans, Colossians, Ephesians, Timothy, Galatians, I think that it can be frustrating because Paul really jumps from thought to thought to thought often. And it seems sometimes discombobulated, and he can be hard to follow when he jumps around. And I think, in fairness to Paul, what we've got to keep in mind is this, that when Paul is writing letters, he's writing them, in all cases, with the exception of Romans, maybe, to people that he knows and he has spent time with. And so Paul, with Timothy, with Titus, with the folks in Corinth, with the folks in Ephesus, Paul has spent time, weeks, days, weeks, months, in intense teaching about who Jesus is, what the gospel is, what the end of time looks like, what the signs to look for look like, what we should be doing. And so there's a complete picture of all of the New Testament that Paul has laid out in really intensive instruction with these communities. And often when we see these letters, is Paul is not restating everything he's taught. He's bringing back to mind points he wants to make about things he's taught them in whole. And so often when you get passages in Paul's letters, we sometimes think we know what they mean. We probably have a good idea what they mean, but what Paul is referring to is a whole wealth of data he has brought forth in his other letters and that he's really established as a foundation of teaching to these people that he's writing these letters to. Now, again, there's a lot here with verse 1, and I want to take a little bit of time with it. He talks about Jesus. And what does he say that Jesus is going to do in verse 1?
Judge.
Judge, yeah. Judge who? Yes. How does Paul say everybody?
Living and dead.
The living and the dead. Now, I want to come back to that, but I just want you to think about that for a second. The living and the dead. So whenever he judges, there's going to be a class of people who are alive and a class of people who are dead. So we'll hang on to that. But then he talks about his appearing and his kingdom. What do you think's going on there? What do you think Paul is talking about there?
Well, the future for him, but his appearing.
Yeah, when he returns. Yeah, when he returns. And when he returns, it will be to establish the kingdom. And what Paul is telling is Timothy in this letter, that one verse sums up almost 80% of the Hebrew Scriptures. The Old Testament is about, for the most part, the coming of a Messiah and a messianic kingdom for the nation of Israel. And he's saying all that here. And so his kingdom is not going to come until he appears to bring it. That's what he's telling Timothy. And when his kingdom comes and when he appears to bring his kingdom, he's going to judge. There's going to be a day of judgment. And until that time, Paul is telling Timothy, you need to be busy doing this. And so we'll talk next week about what he wants Timothy doing in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. Until Jesus appears with the kingdom to judge the living and the dead. So what I want you to do is to think about this. And I want you to think about the word gospel. And what does the word gospel even mean? Good news. Yeah, it's Greek and it means good news. So, Jesus, when he came to earth, he brought the gospel. And the good news was that he came to bring this kingdom and to be king in this kingdom. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 1. And in Mark chapter 1, would someone mind reading verses 14 and 15?
Now after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel."
So there you go. Jesus came to preach the gospel, and the gospel is this. Jesus' gospel, okay? This is Jesus' gospel at a specific time in a specific place. He came to the nation of Israel to preach the good news. Guess what? The kingdom that the prophets have spoken of is here. The Messiah is here too. And all you got to do for all this to get this party started is to repent and believe. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. And Jesus came to the nation of Israel, the nation who is the inheritor of this kingdom, to bring this great news. Hey, you mean that the time of Gentile domination is over and Israel will no longer be the tail but the head? That is great news. And the Messiah will reign? That is great news. And Jesus came with that great news. All you got to do, repent and believe. Suffice it to say, that did not happen. For the most part, the leadership of the nation said, "We don't believe you, and we don't believe you're the Messiah, and we reject this kingdom." Now, because Israel rejected Jesus' good news, it doesn't mean that Jews rejected Jesus' good news. Because when you read the Gospels, we read that a lot of Jews did exactly what Jesus said to do in order to receive the kingdom. They repented and they believed. And the Jews I'm talking about are folks like Peter, Andrew, John, all these disciples, all Jewish, all members of the nation of Israel, receiving the king as Messiah. And when Jesus left, after he was crucified, he said, "Look, I'm coming back," Acts chapter 1. And by the same way you see me leave, I'm coming back. And he was alluding to the fact that he's going to establish this kingdom when he returns. Now, what I want you to do now is let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And what I want you to think of when you study the Bible is the fact that Jesus' gospel is not the gospel that we're saved by. What do you mean by that, Chris? Well, there's a different gospel that is explained. It's still good news. There's the good news nonetheless, but Paul was charged with bringing a gospel, good news, but it wasn't Jesus' gospel, because Jesus went to Israel to tell Israel the kingdom is here, and Israel said, "No, we don't want it," and so that gospel message wasn't received. But even though Jesus was rejected by the nation, it resulted in the fact that he was crucified and became the final atonement for sin and fulfilled the law of Moses. And so that opened up a new door, and opened up a door not only for Israel to be saved, but for Gentiles to be saved too. The God of Israel wanted to save Gentiles. And so that's when Paul began preaching the gospel that we know, that we're aware of, that we're saved by. And Paul explains his gospel here in chapter 15. Could someone read verses 1 through 4?
"Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12.
Perfect. That's good, Richard. So what I want you to do now is just let's look at this closely. Paul's telling these believers, he's taught systemically, intensively, for weeks, if not months, has been away, he's sending them a letter, and he's reminding them again, now I make known to you, brothers, the good news, which I preached to you, and which you received, and by which you are saved. And these folks he's preaching to, this letter's written to the ecclesia as they gather in Corinth, Jews and Gentiles. And he says, I preached to you, by which you are saved, verse 2, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For Paul says this in verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. And here's what the good news is, that Messiah died for our sins according to the Old Testament. When you see the word scriptures there, the New Testament didn't exist. Okay, so Paul means the Hebrew scriptures. And it spelled out very clearly in Hebrew scriptures, Messiah would die for the sin of the nation of Israel and for the world. And here's the good news that Paul shared with Corinth, that Messiah died, and he's reminding them this, he preached it for a long time while he was with them, the Messiah died for our sin according to the scripture. He was buried, raised on the third day according to the Old Testament. Notice, that's Paul's gospel. Notice how it's different than Jesus' gospel. Jesus' gospel, nation of Israel, the kingdom's here, repent and believe. Paul's gospel, Jesus died. Right there, we know that Jesus couldn't have preached Paul's gospel, right? It's not factually possible for Jesus to have preached Paul's gospel. Jesus was alive. Paul's gospel, Jesus died. Jesus did not preach, I am dead. So Paul preached a different gospel than Jesus Christ, a very important gospel. It's a gospel we're saved by. He said, look, Jesus died according to the Hebrew scriptures, raised again on the third day, and is an atonement for our sin. That's the gospel. That's the good news that we live under. I want you to take a look also at Galatians chapter 1. There's some other important parts about the gospel that we receive, that we take to the nations, that we disciple others under. And it's a very important function of the gospel. Not only did Jesus die for our sins and was buried and raised on the third day according to the Old Testament, but also this. Take a look at chapter 1. And could someone read verses 11 and 12?
For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Paul spends a lot of time in Galatians talking about the fact that the way that he received this good news was not the traditional way most people had received the good news for the first two decades after Jesus' death. The way that most people received the good news after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was through Peter, Matthew, John, Andrew, the disciples. And they were taking this good news largely to Israel. They didn't really... Paul had this bizarre vision with a Roman centurion years later, and he was still unclear as to whether a Gentile should have anything to do with the Messiah of Israel. Paul's telling us right here something very important. He received this gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died according to his sin. He received it not from Peter, not from James. He received it directly from Messiah Yeshua. And Paul often calls the gospel that we know, as he often says, it's my gospel. My gospel. And I don't think he's saying it's I made it up. He's saying that, look, I think what he's doing is he's taking ownership of it. Not that it's his gospel that he came up with it, but this was something that the Lord specifically charged him with doing for the rest of his life, spreading this good news. His died for our sins, buried on the third day, resurrected. Now, there's something very important about this gospel that caused a lot of problems between Paul and the other disciples, and causes a lot of problems for churches today and believers today. What I want you to do right now is take a look at Galatians chapter 1. I'll read verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Messiah Yeshua and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. You got good content of Paul's gospel right there. 2. And all the brethren who are with me, to the ecclesia of Galatia, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua Messiah, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, gospel, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. Now hang on there. How is he going to rescue us from this present evil age? When he returns to establish the kingdom. That's how we will be rescued from this evil age. Paul goes on. According to the will of God our Father. Verse 5. To whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. Now, verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Messiah for a different gospel. 7. Which is really not another. Paul's saying there's only one gospel after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel that I share to you, not that others share. What is this gospel that's been being preached? Verse 7. Which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Messiah. So someone's come to these folks after Paul has told them the gospel, and they're saying, we're preaching you the gospel. And Paul's saying there's a big difference between what these guys, well-intended guys, are teaching and what Messiah has us to believe. And he says in verse 8, here's what I want you to understand about the danger of this false gospel. Even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel, good news, contrary to then what we have preached, Paul's differentiating. If you're getting something from someone else that's different than what I'm telling you, I received it not from men but from Messiah, the person who preaches that gospel to you is, verse 8, accursed. Accursed. And what people were preaching to the Galatians was Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried on the third day, and was resurrected. And in order to show your obedience to this Jewish Messiah, you need to keep the law of Moses. That's what all the rest of Galatians is about. These people were spreading this false gospel that the law of Moses was still in effect. The Ten Commandments and the other 603. Paul said these people are accursed. Paul's gospel was Jesus Christ died for our sins, buried, resurrected on the third day, and when he said it is finished, he meant it. The law of Moses came to an end. In fact, he says later in Galatians, take out chapter 3, verse 13, Messiah redeemed us. Chapter 3, verse 3, Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the law. It's no gospel if the law is still in effect. That's bad news. And he goes on in Galatians to say, in fact, if the law is still in effect, then Jesus Christ died in vain. So let's come back to 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Yeah.
Please go.
No. Contradicting what the other disciples were teaching?
Yes. Now, when you say other disciples...
Well, talking about...
Yeah, let's think about this. This is good, because was James teaching that you had to keep the law? Was Peter teaching that you had to keep the law? We don't know for sure, but they may have been.
Because they were speaking to Jews.
And they were very, and also too, when you see Galatians, Paul got into a bad fight with Peter. A bad fight with Peter. And it seems when Paul describes this fight, it seems that Peter knew the gospel. It seems that Peter knew the true gospel, that Christ saved us from our sins, was buried, resurrected on the third day, and it released us from the law of Moses. But it seems that Peter was letting other Jewish believers teach and subscribe to a gospel different than Paul's gospel, which was from Jesus Christ. And it seems that, to finish your question, my opinion, Rod, it seems that Peter knew in his heart, and maybe even James knew in his heart was right, but they were still affiliating with guys that were teaching a gospel that was causing them to be accursed. And they weren't manning up. They weren't manning up, and they weren't calling them out. So that's what I would say my opinion is when you read Acts and Galatians and the rest of what Paul calls these people that are preaching another gospel. Right. Believers. They believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, died for our sins. But in order to manifest that belief, you had to keep the law. And Paul was like, absolutely not. Right. Absolutely not.
Bill. And that really came to a head on this whole circumcision business, that you had to do that. And I think that's when you all got it. And the other thing, too, is I see James, you know, being the half-brother of Jesus. One of his big things was, this is my brother. This is my half-brother. And now I didn't even know he was a Savior. And I got to make sure that this church is pure. And his big job was to make sure that the church in Jerusalem was the true church and weren't watering things down. So anytime something happened like that, he came down on the side, what really is true? So he was probably thinking deeper, and he probably didn't know it, but it came when Paul got him. He got on board first, I bet.
And when Acts describes this meeting that Barnabas and Titus and Paul had with the potshots in Jerusalem, which included Peter and James, they had to make a decision about the gospel. Yeah. And their decision was that, no, the law is not in effect. For cultural purposes, not to offend the Jewish believers, you can't do these three things. So that actually, what I wanted to talk about is his kingdom. So what I got through is the part of verse 1 describing his kingdom. What I want to get through next week is the part of verse 1 that describes him being a judge of the living and the dead. Right. And with that, we'll finish.
Chris, may I just,
yeah, go ahead.
A real quick question. I was taught with this discrepancy that is there with the different teachings, that this was something that, not to go against what Jesus taught in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that that if the Jews were to keep the law of the Old Testament, that it did not go against the new law, and that would be a way for them to still be saved, but that they didn't have to be. That because Jesus came and said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Right.
Sure.
So, and that's pretty much. There's it's pretty simple, but in that no man should go to the Father except by me.
Amen.
But
that's exactly what he preached.
But then I was taught that if Jewish folks were to keep the law of Moses, that they would still be able to be saved and live eternally.
I would say that is Paul would say the person that teaches that is accursed. I believe,
and that might be exactly what.
Yeah, no, but so that's a good point. I actually believe that these guys were not saying to keep the law. I think that the guys that were teaching in Galatia were saying that you have to believe in Christ plus the law. And that's not the gospel. You can't keep the law because the law is fulfilled.
But we're seeing that happen in mainline denomination churches. It's grace, but works.
Sure. And also, too, there is this idea that, you know, as you said it well, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. There's no Jew that's getting to the Father except through receiving Jesus as Lord. And there's no Gentile that's getting to the Jewish king, getting to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, unless they goes through Jesus Christ. And then Paul said in Romans, here's why the law is fulfilled. No one could keep it. Only one person. That's Jesus did.
Okay.
That was it.
Well, we'll finish up there a little bit. Heavenly Father, how awesome it is that you opened up our eyes this morning to go ahead and see your true word. How exciting it is to go ahead and be disciples of you, to be able
That's
to
right.
jump out into the world and say, God is our God.
Amen.
Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And we have to repent. And we have to go ahead and just live everything that you tell us in your truth of word.
Mm.
Heavenly Father, I just praise you for Chris. I praise you for every word that comes out of his mouth. It's just
Thank you,
like
Jesus.
Sweet tones that just filter into my heart.
Amen,
and
Lord.
I just glorify you because you have such great teachers like him.
Mm.
And I just pray for every man that's here. I pray for all the concerns that we talked about earlier today. I just ask that you go ahead and just put your hands upon those that are injured, that are having surgery, that are having brain issue, all that kind of stuff. I just ask for your comfort to go ahead and just blanket over them. Heavenly Father, I just praise you for this awesome day and just give you all the power and strength. In your holy name I pray.
Amen. Thanks, Rod.
I encourage you to there's Dan's email and his cell phone number. I would encourage you to call him if you can, and if you get his voicemail, I would do what I've heard my friend Chris do, is just pray right on the voicemail for him right there.
Amen.
But also encourage you, if you want to send an email, the same thing, put the prayer right in the email. Chris does that, and I think that makes a lot of sense. The other thing is...